A podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. A professional viewpoint, one that can add to your general investing knowledge and give you some perspective as you wrestle with your financial decisions. It's Justin Klein's InvestTalk Views. Click on InvestTalk.com and watch how higher interest rates will affect the real estate and stock market. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is January 4th, 2017. Can you believe it's already a new year? And we're all about above-average investing for the average investor. So I'm here every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time, to talk about investing, how to make money in the market, how to protect yourself in the market, how to manage the risks that you're taking in the market. And we're going to take a longer look at the predictions for 2017 from those fearless analysts who are not afraid to stick their necks out and make those kinds of predictions. And just remember, analysts are always wrong. But we're going to see what they say about this year. Are they optimistic or are they just so-so? What is their feeling? Now, MarketWatch reported today that the minutes from the December Federal Reserve meeting suggested a greater possibility that rates, interest rates, are going to go up faster this year, faster, at a faster pace than just gradual. So that's new. The market kind of shrugged that off and said, well, that's okay. So we're now getting into the era of boring U.S. central bank policy. No one's really paying attention. I don't think so. So how do interest rates from the Federal Reserve affect the stock market? Remember, the Federal Reserve only sets one interest rate, and that's the money that that banks borrow from the government is what the Federal Reserve controls, that rate. So the banks borrow money, and then the banks lend it to us, and they charge us more interest. That's how they make money. So if the Federal Reserve is raising rates, of course that's going to affect you, me, everybody, homeowner buyers, home buyers, car loans, everything. It's going to go up. How fast it goes up and what the costs are affects the economy. But business borrowing costs are going to go up. It's just going to, and if they say it's going to go up faster, remember, it's been, the interest rates have been very, very low for many, many years. But now the Fed is saying they're going to go up faster. Now the other question is, do you believe the Fed? Last year, in the beginning of last year, 2016, they said they were going to raise their rates four times, and they only raised it once in December. Now they're saying they're going to raise their rates faster in 2017. Well, what does that mean? Are we to believe them? They didn't do it. They didn't do what they said they were going to do last year. So is it going to happen? So how should this affect your long-term view? Let's talk about it. As always, we're up for any money questions you might have on InvestTalk. So let's begin the Q&A portion of the program. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
My question is, my wife had a 401k we had to roll over. What I'd like to know is, there are any restrictions on where I can roll it over to or what I can do with their shares? Can I move it anywhere I like, or do I have to be restricted on what I do with it? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bye.
So a 401k is retirement at your old employer's, and you left that employer, and you can roll that 401k into what we call an IRA, and you can roll that IRA into any custodian you want, the bank, mutual fund company, stock, you know, anywhere you want, Schwab, doesn't matter. You can roll it in. They'll open up an IRA. You can roll it into anywhere you want, and you can buy any asset out there. But it's not a completely 100% freedom to buy assets. For instance, you just can't take money out of your 401k and go buy, you know, stamps, U.S. stamps as an investment. No, that's not going to be allowed. You can't just buy real estate. You can't, like, go buy a house from your 401k. There are rules that allow you to invest in real estate from a 401k, but you got to do something special. You can't just do it. But you can buy any asset. You can buy bonds. You can buy. You can leave it in cash. You can buy CDs. You can buy stocks. You can buy unit investment trust. There's many, many things you can buy. So you do have a lot of freedom once you roll it into an IRA, and you can roll it over to anywhere you want, any financial institution you want to. Okay? Good question, though. After a strong and long gallop upward, markets have reasons to slow down, analysts and fund managers say in 2017. The market has reasons to slow down in 2017. That's going to be one of our talking points. We're going to discuss that. What do they mean by that? How much is slowed down? How much is it going to go up? No one, by the way, knows. No one has a crystal ball. No one knows how much it's going to go up or down. No one. The experts are always wrong. And I don't exclude myself in that, by the way. I'm not always right. No way. So don't think, you know, I include myself in every time I say experts are always wrong, because we are. We're wrong a lot. That doesn't mean you don't listen to their advice. That's one of our main talking points today. I'm also going to discuss auto sales and the Fed minutes that came out. The Fed minutes of what they said in their last meeting and auto sales. Those are the two drivers of the market today. I want to talk about bonds. 10-year, 2-year, 30-year. What's going on? You know, if you're going to look for a recession in our economy, you look at the yield spread of bonds first. And finally, what is the composite indicator? What is the composite indicator that's been 65 to 75% accurate for years and years and years and was totally wrong in 2016? Those are what we're going to talk about today. Of course, you drive the show with your calls. You can call me anytime you want. The market, the Dow was up 60 today. The Nasdaq was up 48 points. And the S&P 500 was up 13 points. So another second up day in a row for the market for the first of the year. Remember, the market was weak the last week of 2016. And here it is the first couple of days, trading days in the year. And it's regained all that weakness from last week. So that's what we're seeing going on in the market. And the market's been strong for many, many weeks. Many weeks. Makes me nervous. I'm nervous about it. Are you nervous about it? Are you going to do anything? I don't know. We'll see. Let's talk to Glenn in the Bay Area. How you doing, Glenn?
Hey, I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Good. Yeah, it was one of these things where I heard about a stock, SFL, and all the it just kind of seemed like too good to be true. So I thought I'd get your take on it, please.
Okay, let's talk about it. SFL is Ship Finance International Limited, provides tanker transportation services for crude and refined oil products. So obviously, if the oil prices are good or high, this company would do well. If oil prices go down, it won't do so well. This is not, it's very inexpensive. We're talking about it's going to make $1.43 next year, and it's a $15 stock. So that means it's going to be about 15 or 16 PE. If you look backwards and look at, well, what did it make in 2015? And this is what I fear that people were doing. Its stock even looks much cheaper. But you kind of look forward. So it's, you know, It's about a 10, 11 PE. Return on equity is good at 21%. It's a good, solid company. 100% debt, which is a little tough. Pays a huge dividend. Oh. It pays 11% dividend, and it's a $15 stock. So how are they going to pay a $1.60 in dividend when they only make $1.43 per share? Well, they can do it because they have lots more cash flow, $3.62 in cash flow. So they can do it. So, you know, it probably is going to be paying a high dividend. But I would be a little careful here because it's pretty near the top of its range.
Uh-huh.
And I actually think it might continue to go up. Because I think oil prices are going to stay pretty stable.
Okay.
Glenn, I think it's a decent company. It's just a little bit more debt than I'm comfortable with. Okay?
Got it.
Thank you for the call,
Great.
Glenn.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Call again. It's a $1.4 billion company, so it's a small cap company, small company. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Should Warren Buffett lose his crown? Jesse Livermore, although he died more than a half a century ago, is considered by today's top traders as the greatest trader who ever lived, Jesse Livermore. Have you ever heard of him? His biography is just one of the books highlighted in our recommended book section at investtalk.com. You can take a look at it. Investtalk.com with two T's. Investtalk.com. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Floyd in Fremont. How you doing, Floyd?
Hi, Steve. Hey, thanks for a great show.
I listen to you guys a lot. Great, thank you.
Hey, my question of the day, my question today is about Wisdom Tree Europe Hedged Equity Fund. I've lost about 5% since going into the fund. I went into it before the Brexit vote, and it went down for quite a while. In the last 3 months, it's been up about 6 or 7% or so, but I think I'm not sure if I should cut my losses and get out now or wait until later because it's just starting to make this comeback. So I want your opinion on what Europe is going to do. What do you see the prospect for it to continue to make gains in the near future?
Okay, good question. Appreciate it. Now, Wisdom Tree Europe, the symbol is HEDJ. It's an exchange-traded fund, an ETF, performance corresponding to the WisdomTree Europe Hedged Equity Index. So we don't know what's in it necessarily, what stocks I hold, because I don't have time to look it up. But
Yeah, you got a lot.
Yeah, so Floyd, the basic question we have to ask ourselves is, what do we think about Europe? Is Europe going to start improving? Because they really haven't done much, right? Well, I think that Europe will actually may start to improve, and this might be the beginning of a run that, and I think you need to give it some room, let it run. I really think you need to let it run. It probably is going to, you know, there has a lot of resistance right around $65, $70 a share. It's at $57.89 now.
Right.
So I think you hold it and maybe have a tight stop. Okay. If it goes down to a couple points, 5%, get out.
Yeah. I've been in for a while already. So, yeah, now would be kind of a bad time to get out of it since I've been holding it for about 6 or 7 months now.
Yeah. So let it run. I think Europe might have bottomed out. No one really knows that,
right,
Floyd. But I think the odds are the probabilities are that they probably have bottomed. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Thanks, Floyd, very much. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Here's an investing term you should know. The term is derivative. Have you heard the word derivative? The term, I'm sure you've read it and heard about it. A derivative is a security with a price that is dependent upon or derived from one or more underlying assets. A derivative itself is a contract between two or more parties based upon the asset or assets. Its value is determined by fluctuation in the underlying asset. The value of the derivative is determined by how much the underlying asset it represents goes up and down. The most common underlying assets are stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, interest rates, and market indexes. Now, derivatives either can be traded over the counter, OTC, or on an exchange. So those are if you want to learn more about derivatives, you can go to Investopedia. That's always a very good website to get definitions, and you've heard me mention that many times. This is InvestTalk. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. We can talk about anything financial, insurance. I have a pretty good extensive background in insurance. We can talk real estate. So let's talk about anything money related. Be happy to do that. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line. So we had a pretty good 2016, right, in the market, in the stock market. What about the forecast for 2017? Well, the analysts, the experts, are saying it's going to be a good year, but not a great year. Now, I'll have you know that they felt, those same experts felt that 2016 market was probably going to be flat to down, and it was up about 12% or so, depending on what index you track, right? So they were way off, pretty far off, I think. Now they're saying that this year, maybe we'll get 10%. If we get double digits, that will be lucky, and it will be in the single digits. I don't know. I'm not buying that. I think the market might be up, but I think it's going to be in the single digits for sure But I think it's going to be a rocky road for 2017. I think it's going to be up and down. Yeah, there's going to be some really good times, but I think there's going to be some pretty scary times too. And I don't know if I can predict. I don't think I would want to predict 2017 because it could be a huge return in the market, or we could lose 15-20%. I think it could be either way. So when they're predicting a single digits return, I think they're just hedging their bets because they don't know what they're doing. By the way, no one can predict the market. It's just not possible. So if you want to read about these analysts, the article is called 2017 Investment Forecast, Possible Good, No Longer Great. It's on my website at investtalk.com. You can take a look at it. So, I always post a number of articles on the website for you to read. Now let's get back to our 24-hour anytime line, pick up a question, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I was looking into get into the stock Nike, N-K-E. Wanted to get your opinion, and would this be a good time to get into the stock, or do you suggest to wait a little lower? Thanks so much.
I think it's a good time to get into Nike right now. It's fallen all last year, bottomed in November, and ever since November has been getting higher highs and higher lows for the stock price. So it looks like it might be put in a bottom. Now, if you look at the fundamentals of Nike, and everybody knows who Nike is. If you don't know, you live in a cave, okay? It's of course, high-quality footwear. That's what they're known for. They make money. They make money every year, very consistent. The sales go up every quarter, very consistent. It's in the single digits now because it's an $88 billion company. It's huge. So it's only, about 8-9% growth in sales and about the same for earnings. Because of its steadiness that it earns money every year, every quarter sales go up, 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 the stock has a higher P/E ratio. In other words, it's a bit more expensive than other stocks in the same category. Their P/E ratio right now is 23, okay, which is kind of on the high side. They're going to make $2.64 next year. It's a $53 stock. Okay, that means that it's really a 21-22 P/E based on next year's earnings, and even that's a little high. But for Nike, the range is 18 to 33 on the P/E, and it's like 21. I with a return on equity of 30%, all the numbers look really good for Nike. And it looks like on a chart, it's put in the bottom back in November. I think this is the time that you put your toe in the water and buy it. Does that mean it's going to go up from here? Who knows? I think it is. I think it should go to about $60 a share to maybe $65 in that range. I think that's where it should go. And so, and it's at $53.07 now. I mean, that would be, it was there last year, 2016. What's to keep it? Remember, it's a very steady earner, consistent, long-term. It's a really solid company, so I think it's going to go back there where it was trading last year. Why not? I like Nike, by the way. I do think it's a good company. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So auto sales were up big in last month, and the Federal Reserve minutes came out, and that was blamed for the market rally today. Now, that's what the pundits say. That's what the news media say, but they don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. They always look for something to point to that this is what caused the stock market to move. Now, when the market moves huge in one day, a couple 300 points, then it's easier to pinpoint something that moved it. But when the market only went up 60 points today, it's hard to say that, oh, it's because of the auto sales. Oh, it's because the Federal Reserve released its minutes of its last meeting. And they said that, well, if you look at the minutes from the last meeting, you would feel that the market should go down because the Fed said they're going to be faster in raising rates than everybody expected. That's not positive for the market. That's negative for the market. So how can they say that the Fed meeting minutes help move the market up? This is what I don't like about the news media. They don't know. They're trying to sell you news. They want you to watch their news. many times they just say things because it sounds good or that might be or plausible. It's plausible. But they don't. No one knows. Why did the market go up? Because buyers came in and decided to buy some stocks. Maybe I think a more logical reason why the market's gone up the last couple of days is because you had tax loss selling at the end of last year, and those people who sold all their positions last year to harvest tax losses to apply to the tax gains, capital gains, capital losses, those people are buying back into the market. Maybe that's a more plausible reason. You're listening to Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART is our number.
We thank you for subscribing. A note about one of KPP Financial's investment programs, it's called Dynamic Growth. And this program can be aggressive in bull market phases and transition to a defensive stance when bear market periods appear. It will even short the market and raise significant cash levels when deemed appropriate. If you'd like to know more about it, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com and then Dynamic Growth. Our next Invest Talk will come your way Thursday, January 5th. Making extra payments reduces your interest, but it may not always be the best investment strategy. How to pay off a mortgage early, that's one of our topics next time. For right now, your talking point comes first, 888-99-CHART.
Yeah, hi guys, calling in from Arizona. I was thinking about buying Simon Property Group. I see it's way down there, but I feel maybe the property they hold will always be worth something. And of course, they've got those huge parking lots, probably nobody will need in 20 years when we got those other self-drive type of cars. But anyway, I was kind of curious to see where you think shopping malls are going. I have a feeling they might be going no place. But housing is always needed. So just want an idea on you and the price. And you think this might be an opportune time to go ahead and buy some. And this is Penny coming from Arizona. And I'll be glad to hear your answer on the air at Simon Property Group, SPG. Bye-bye.
Okay, Simon Property Group, it is a mega cap company, $57 billion. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that owns and operates and develops regional malls, outlets, and shopping centers in 37 states and in Puerto Rico. I am not keen on the future of malls. I am not keen on the future. Why? Why is that? You can all blame the online shoppers. People don't go to malls as often as they used to. They buy stuff online through their phones or their computer. So the malls are suffering in general because their sales are not. Now, do I think they're going to disappear? No, I don't. Because kids still love going to the malls because it's fun to go and be with their friends. It's a place to go. What I think is going to happen with these malls is they're going to morph into more of an entertainment area and shopping, not just shopping. Because that's kind of, and the big anchor stores, like, you know, the JCPenney's and the Nordstrom's, they're gonna have the hard time. I think financially they're just going to have to figure out a way to make money. And the malls are going to have to figure out a way, the big malls are going to have to figure out a way to attract traffic so people would buy stuff. And I've seen malls that have more entertainment. They're still very, very busy. It's not that they're going to fall apart, it's just going to have a harder time. Now, Simon Property is a very well-managed REIT. I kind of like it. They pay 3.5% dividend. They're going to make $10.48 this year, or in 2016, I should say. That's 5% higher than last year. And then they're going to grow another 10% or so in 2017. But the growth is pretty slow, 3 to 5% sales growth. So it's not exciting. Therefore, you want to buy it right, and I do think at about where it is now is a good price for it, a good price for it. Because if it's $11.71 they're going to make per share. It's an $184 share stock price. That tells you it's about 15, 16 P.E. Its five-year average P.E. is 16 to 23, so it's near the low end. So I kind of like it. SPG, Simon Properties. Let's go to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Good. You want to talk about BP, British Petroleum?
Yes, I hold it for essentially the reason that I hold it is purely for the dividend. What I'd like to know is that good enough of a reason to hold it and to continue holding it, say, the long term? That's one that I thought I would just hold for, a good long while. But again, the dividend is my motivation behind holding BP.
I would say yes, that is a good reason to hold any stock for long term, just for the dividend. Excuse me. This pays a 6.2% dividend. It's British Petroleum. Oh, a big oil company, right? We're talking $119 billion. Big oil company. We know all the problems they had in the Gulf with the oil spill a few years ago. But that's pretty much behind them. They paid a huge amount of pain. They paid a lot of money, billions upon billions of dollars for that damage they did. But now, I think they have a lot more potential going forward. That cost is behind them. And they pay a 6% dividend, and I doubt if they're going to cut that dividend. I think oil, if Europe and China, finally get their act together, oil prices are going to go up. If OPEC cuts oil production, which I don't think they can do, by the way, then oil prices are going to go up. I think the chances of oil prices staying high in the area they are now are higher than they are than going down to $20 a share. And then if they did, $20, $25 a share, British Petroleum still would be around, and they'd still be paying that dividend, and they'll be doing it for years and years and years. And if that's the reason why you're holding on to it, I don't see a problem. I don't see a problem with holding it for the dividend. Okay?
Okay, I'm going to keep it. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it. That's BP, British Petroleum. And there's others out there that you can buy and hold for the same exact reason, high dividends. Now, British Petroleum, BP, might be a little bit more riskier than other high dividend-paying stocks. It could be. But, what do you think about oil? Time for InvestTalk Personal, the day-to-day financial choices that can have a lasting impact. Yahoo Finance posted a worthwhile piece written by Jeff Rose. It was called 11 Financial Behaviors You Don't Want Your Kids to Learn From You. I have relatives that do a lot of this, by the way. You operate without a budget. I bet you almost all of my relatives do that. Debt is your friend. Debt is not your friend. You do not go into debt. If our friends have it, I need it. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. Credit cards are a way of life. Credit card debt is the most expensive debt. Why would anybody have credit card debt for any length of time? Don't get it. And this is things they don't ever talk about with their kids. They never talk about money. Never discuss it with their kids. So the kids don't know how much things cost. They don't know what's going on. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. What that means is you're spending all your money. You're not saving it. You're not preparing for a rainy day. You're not going to be ready for retirement. And that pretty much sums up every family member I have that I know. And I have a lot of them. Always take advantage of a sale. Probably my nieces do that, nieces and nephews. Always think a sale is a time, I can save 25%. When they don't realize that the store marked it up 100% and just decided and knew that they were going to mark it down 25% to make them think they're getting a bargain. Do it all the time. Happens. Been doing that for years and years and years. And people don't understand and realize they do that. Pretending that financial habits don't affect your health. I can tell you there's a lot of stress going on, and it does affect your health when you're always in the hole and you don't think you're ever going to get out of it. These are things you shouldn't be doing, everybody. And that's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have a comment about this topic or any other personal experience? Be happy to talk about it. Share it with me right now. Share it with everybody. 888-99-CHART.
Here's a KPP investment program that may suit you. KPP is excited about My 401k. This new system can help meet a serious challenge for the average investor, how to make informed choices within limits of their employer's plan. If you'd like to know more about it, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab and then My 401k.
Hi, my name is Adam. I'm calling from El Dorado Hills, California. I'm looking at a company. It's a Royal Dutch Shell A-Shares. Just wondering, I know it pays a pretty good dividend, but I think the PE is a little high. Just wondering, I'm thinking about adding it to my portfolio, and I just want to know what your take is on it. Thank you very much.
Okay, this is Royal Dutch Shell. It's a $225 billion company. Huge. Everybody's talking about big companies today. They're engaged in exploration, production, and refining of crude oil, natural gas worldwide. They're making $1.90 in 2016, and then they're going to make $3.68 in 2017. So they're a huge downward stroke in earnings per share in 2016, because in 2015 they made $3.38. So something happened there. They had a big expense. Something happened in that in 2016. I don't know what it is because I can't see it on the stuff I'm reading. My problem with the company is that their sales growth has been shrinking every quarter for 2 years. And I would have thought 2016 would have been a turnaround year for some sales growth, but that's not happening. They pay a huge dividend, 5.7%, much like the previous caller's stock, British Petroleum. But this one is a bit, this is a bit expensive for me. They're at the high end of their five-year range. Their five-year range is 8 to 33, and they're selling right now for 33 on a PE range. That, to me, is a little too pricey. They have coming off their bottom. They were at $35 a share. They're now, at 55. So what do you think of oil? The last two calls, Royal Dutch, British Petroleum, what do you think oil, price of the barrel of oil, is going up or down? I don't think it's going to go up much, and I could see it going down, but I have a feeling that oil is going to stay relatively pricey right where it is. I don't see a big move up or a big move down for oil, really don't. What would be the catalyst for up or down? We'd have to have a lot more economic growth for it to go up. I don't see that anywhere in the world. Or for it to go down, we have to have some recession somewhere. Don't see that here in the U.S. and probably not in Europe. Maybe one or two countries in Europe, but not overall. So I'm not sure. I think oil is going to stay where it is. So this just stock seems a little bit pricey for me, a little expensive for me. This is Royal Dutch Shell. Royal Dutch Shell. Let's go to Daniel Los Altos. How you doing, Daniel?
I just had a question about Six Flags, Six, S-I-X.
Okay. You want to be a buyer of it?
Yeah, I just bought some today. Just wondering if I did the right thing.
Okay.
And, not a lot. I just wondered if I should add to it.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's take a look at the fundamentals. One thing I don't like on a chart is you know what a doji is? For Japanese candlestick charts. It formed a doji today, and what that means is it traded in a range all day long, but it fell and stopped trading at the end of the day at the bottom price. So in other words, it went up today, but it settled down at the very bottom price at $60.01. That's kind of a negative thing. We'll see. But that's a chart reading, and chart reading, as I've said, is an art, not a science, so it's not always right. But let's look at the fundamentals. It operates 18 theme parks. We're talking about Six Flags. S-I-X is a symbol. S-I-X. It operates 18 theme parks primarily under the Six Flags brand located throughout the North America. Okay? And it's a $5.5 billion company, so it's a mid-sized company. They're going to make $1.25 in 2016 and then $1.89, which is a pretty good jump. But that $1.25 in 2016 is a 21% downstroke from the year before. Sales are flat. They turned flat on us. So they're going to make $1.89. It's a $60 stock. So, Daniel, this stock is expensive. Okay. You bought it at a price that I would be very careful with. and don't add to it here. If it goes down to like the high 40s, then I say you can add to it.
Okay.
Okay.
Great advice. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Pays a nice dividend, though. You can wait. You can be patient. Pays 4.3% dividend right now. So if it went down to the high 40s, that dividend would be 5.25. Yeah, that'd be nice. So it's a good, solid company. Makes money. A little bit long on the debt area, which worries me just a tad. But it's a good, solid company. So I talked about bonds, and I talked about the yield spread of bonds, and that is the difference between a 10-year bond yield, which right now is 2.45%, and a 2-year bond yield, which right now is, 1.1%? The 30-year is at 3.04. Now, the 10-year and the 30-year bond were flat today, while the 2-year went up 1.1 basis points. The yield on a 2-year is 1.2%, not 1.1. The basis went up 1.1 basis point. Now, that's not a lot. But remember, I've talked on the show where if the short-term bond, the 2-year, and the 10-year bond invert, meaning the 2-year bond pays more in yield than the 10-year bond, every time that's ever happened, we've been moving into or we're in a recession. So you have to watch for them to squeeze. When they start to squeeze, and it did a little bit of squeezing today, this is where you would worry. Now, one day does not mean anything. But I want you to keep a look at the bond yields, the spread between the short term and the long term. If they start equaling, coming closer and closer together, that's usually a signal that there's economic tough times ahead. And when there's economic tough times ahead, stock markets go down. Now, I'm not saying that today, oh gosh, we got to worry about today. No, I'm not saying that. You don't have to worry about today. But I'm going to continue to remind you to keep an eye on this yield. If you're going to be an investor and you're managing your own money, these are things you need to watch for. You need to be aware of. If you're not, you're going to lose money. Don't be in the market if you're not going to watch these things. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. And the invitation is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 888-99-CHART. That invitation is to give me a call anytime on that listener line. Why not check in now?
Hi, Steve. This is Lewis from Kansas City. Love the show. I'm 31, and I have a fairly high risk tolerance, and I'm trying to diversify my portfolio with more international and emerging market ETFs. I'm currently very U.S. stock heavy. I have a 401k and a 457b that I'm maxing out through my job, and my international options are essentially limited to Europe and maybe a small amount of Asia, primarily through the America Fund's Euro-Pacific, which is RERGX. I have an investment account, and I'm interested in investing in South America and Latin America. Now, I understand Brazil and Latin America have both seen a run-up over the last few months, but I still think there is long-term value in investing in Latin America. I'd like to hear your opinions on GML and ILF. Thank you, and I'll listen off the air.
Okay, well, there's three positions there. I'm not keen on Europe yet. I think they may have bottomed, but I just haven't seen any evidence for them to get off the dime and start growing. And I still think we're a couple years away from them. I'm worried about the debt in certain countries, Spain and Italy, their banks. They're just weak. They're very weak. So I wouldn't be keen on Europe. Latin America, I might be a little bit, maybe South America, a little bit more positive there. And Brazil is the big gorilla in the room for Latin America. So if you're going to talk about Latin America, you got to talk about Brazil. And Brazil's had a lot of problems that they've gotten over recently. And so I think we might finally get some positive news from there. But I would basically tell you, you don't need a lot of exposure outside the United States. I don't think it's a wise thing in Asia. Not too keen on Europe. You could do a little bit, and you could do a little bit more in South America because of Brazil. But all those places are not nearly as reliable as the U.S. Now, the problem with the U.S. is we're a bit expensive. We're a bit expensive. The whole market I'm talking about. It's run up really nice. Ever since Trump got elected, the stock market has done nothing but go up. And that's not normal. It's probably going to give some of that back. I just can't tell you when. It may continue to run up and then give it back some other time. But it's overpriced, the market. Now, there's one argument I can tell you that means it's not overpriced, and that's when you look at the earning yields of the 10-year treasury and look at the earning yields of the stock market. And even though the stock price market's P.E. ratio and other ratios are very high, the earnings yield looks pretty attractive when compared to the bond market. Remember, those are the two markets that people push money to, the bond market, the stock market. So which one's going to give you the best return? Not the bond market. The stock market will. And so money is going to come into the stock market, and that's why I feel, even though it's expensive, all we're going to have is corrections. We're not going to have a real fall in prices in the stock market. When I say that, corrections 10%, 15%, maybe up to 20%, which would be very painful, but there's still a correction. A bear market is 20% or higher, and I don't see that in the cards 2017. I just don't. Okay. Last talking point, we're running out of time for the day. What is the composite indicator? You didn't hear me talk about that very much because I don't use it. But it has a track record of being right 65 to 75% of the time, year over year over year, except for 2016. The composite indicator is three components, okay? First, was there a Santa Claus rally or not? That's number one. Was the market up for the first 5 days of the year or not? And was the market up for January or not? If those three things happen, up Santa Claus rally, which is the last week of December, up the first 5 days of January, and up for the 31 days of January, if that happens, the market's going to be strong. If it doesn't, if two of those three things don't happen, the market's going to be weak and go down. Now, 2016, the market was down in January. The market was down the first 5 days, the whole month of January, the worst January in history last year, and the market ended up being up for the year. So this composite indicator was totally off, even though it's 65 to 75% right. That's why you can't use just one indicator. You got to use a lot of them. Our time is up for the hour. A reminder, I will be in San Jose on the 11th of January for individual retirement account reviews. I do have at least one opening, I believe, left. If you want to sit down and meet with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then portfolio review. We'll be in touch, set up an appointment for you. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP, want to thank you for listening today. And let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.